and the praise team do a good job. Amen. Amen. Thank you all. Yes. Thank you for all that you guys do. Raccoon Creek is better for it, I can assure you of that. A lot of folks wish they had the praise and worship that we do. And it truly is a gift from God. Daniel chapter 3 is where we left off last week. Turn there, if you will, Daniel chapter 3, beginning in verse 8. I'm going to continue talking about how 2016 is going to be your best year yet. For many of you, it's going to be your best year yet. It's not to say you won't struggle and you may not go through things, but you're going to see God in ways that you've never seen Him. You're going to hear Him in ways you've never heard Him. You're going to be delivered. You're going to be set free. You're going to see victories in areas of your life that you haven't seen victory. 2016 already has started off with a bang in my life. How about some of you? God's already done some great things. And it's just a deposit. As you give Him the first fruits of 2016, oh, hallelujah. If you give Him the first fruits, I believe that He'll bless the rest. Just like in the tithe. And it's not a message on tithing, so some of y'all can just grab your checkbook and leave that alone. But it's kind of like that principle. You give God the first, and He'll bless the rest. If you give Him the first, He'll bless the rest. Don't try to figure out how He's going to do that. He just will because He can. He just will. We're talking about the one that can speed up time or slow time down. We're talking about the one that can bless you financially out of fields that you haven't sown into. We're talking about the one that can give you promotions. We're talking about one that can bring healing to your body. So don't try to figure out how He's going to do it, because He said in His word that He can do exceedingly abundantly more than I can ask Him to do or even think is possible to do. So when you try to figure Him out, you just frustrate yourself. But 2016 is going to be the best year for your life. Best year so far. Best year so far. And God will use it as a building block for 17 and 18 and 19 and 20. Who would have thought we'd ever be talking about 2020? You know, back 40, 50 years ago. But that's what God wants to do. He goes from glory to glory to glory, and He's going to use this year for a building block and a foundation for a lot of your lives in ways that you never knew. But He's also going to do it to allow you to pour into other people. Because He doesn't just bless you and me for me and you. It's to people that He brings alongside of you. You know, I talk to people every week that I take for granted as basic Christianity 101, basic things that you need to do, and they don't know that. So you've got to kind of check yourself and say, wait, they're not being coy. They're not trying to trip me up. They're not trying to do anything like that. They really don't know that this is what they need to do. They'll come to you for advice because they see your walk. They see how God will bless you, and they'll come to you for advice, and you'll be ready. You'll be ready. Well, let me tell you how many hours you got. Let me tell you about God. Let me tell you what He can do. Let me tell you what I did to get where I'm at. And the list goes on and on. But Daniel chapter 3 in verse 8 through 12 was our text last week. We talked about the title of the sermon, and the title of today's sermon is a continuation of that. Just say no. Just say no. In 2016, you're going to have to say no to some stuff. You're going to have to say no to some stuff that the world has said yes to and that maybe you've said yes to all this time. And maybe you didn't know that it was hindering your walk with God. It was hindering the blessing of God for your life. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 23 says that I have the right and you have the right to do anything, but not everything is beneficial to you. And not everything is beneficial to me. You can look at food that way. God gives us freedom to choose that stuff. But it's more than just food. It'll impact your health. But your spiritual health is more important than even your physical health. They're both important, and you shouldn't neglect either one of them. But your spiritual health is more important. Even Paul addressed that issue when he talked about exercise. He said, look, that's all fine and dandy, but you know, I'd rather you be spiritually strong, because that's eternal. That's eternal. And not only that, but you're impacting people for eternity that way. So you know, I was talking to a brother this week at the radio station, and we were talking, and one of the things that he said that I knew God had for me to share with you this morning, he said, look, man, he just came right into the kitchen. He didn't say hello or anything. He just came in there, and I thought he was mad at me, but then I thought, no, this brother's got a word for me. He said, look, God dropped this in my spirit today, and he said, you can either be a trash can or a watering can. Two different things. And they're both poured out for different reasons. They're both dumped. The trash is dumped because of what can grow and how much of a stink it can cause and how dangerous it can be if left unattended and it's just doing what it's doing. But a watering can causes things to grow. Watering can or a trash can? Which one are you going to be in 2016? What are you going to take in? What are you going to watch on television? What are you going to listen to on the radio? 91.7. I don't, go ahead. Like they used to say, Gary, just lock us in and rip off the knob, right? They don't have those anymore, but lock us in.
get you some Christian CDs. Listen to something positive, and not just positive, but something that will build your faith up and encourage you, okay? What are you listening to? What are you watching on TV? Because those little ones running around are listening to that too. Never forget one time we were watching a show that wasn't particularly bad, that I thought. It was more violent than anything, and it was getting more violent as the seasons went on. And I had a little check in my spirit, but I was asking for discernment because I really liked the show. You know how it goes. Don't lie. I know you do. I was asking for discernment this one week. And then one time, me and Lisa sitting there watching it, and Taylor, who was probably, she was probably 8 years old at the time, she walked through, and the TV's this way, me and Lisa sitting there watching it. She walked through, and she was going just like this. And the look on her face was fear. And I said, well, that's enough of that. No more. No more. It's not just about you. Garbage in, garbage out. Garbage in, garbage out. You're going to be a trash can or a watering can. So we talked about that last week in detail. The garbage on TV and the things that you're listening to, that Jesus said to love the world, to not love the world and the things of this world. And he said, if you do that, then the love of the Father is not in you. That's a very pointed statement that he says. And then he says also later, he says, look, if you love me, why don't you do what I say to do? Not to get religious on you and not to be a stick in the mud. I talked about that last week too. I'm a guy that likes to have a good time, likes to have fun. I'm loose. But you know, there's got to be parameters in your life. There's got to be a line in the sand that you just won't cross and you can still have fun. Look at what Jesus did. He came and didn't even break the law, but operated in complete freedom in the parameters of it. And we're not under the law, we're under grace. But even he showed us how to live. Guys, you can have fun. You can have a good time. You can do what he calls you to do, even if somebody puts restraints on you. If you've got a check in your spirit, you don't need to do those things. But some things you don't need to wait for the check about. Some things you just know are wrong. Some things you don't need to be doing. But we also talked about in Song of Solomon how it says the little foxes spoil the vine. The little things in our lives so many times will bring destruction in other areas of our life. Little things creeping in that nature. We talked about also how people are going to talk about you in verses 8 through and 12, that saying no in 2016 will cause you to stand out. If you say no, you will go against the flow. People will talk about you, but they're going to talk about you whether you do it or whether you don't. And even some Christians are going to talk about you. And they'll talk about you a lot of times because they're convicted of not doing what you're doing. They're convicted of that. They're seeing you do it. And a lot of times their natural reaction is to lash out when they don't feel good or when it feels uncomfortable for them and when they're under conviction. So who wants more in 2016? Wow. Okay, there we go. Who wants more in 2016? There we go. See, I told you. Come on, guys, wake up. This is good stuff. There will always be those among you and in your midst that will get mad and upset because you're not doing what they're doing. Can you believe that they're doing this or that? Can you believe that they don't watch this or that? Can you believe that they don't go see these kind of movies? Can you believe that they won't go out every now and again and have a drink and celebrate on date night and things like that? But listen, there's nothing good, as I said last week, there's nothing good that ever comes from drinking. There's nothing positive that ever comes from that. Think about that. Young people, there's nothing positive that ever comes from having a beer. I've had them before. There's nothing positive that comes from that. The best case scenario for you is that you don't get in a fight and you still have the same friends when it's all over and you make it home alive. That's the best. But you know what? That's where you started. That's where you started. Now you're just out more money and now you got the headache and you're hungover and you run the risk of being put in jail and killing other people. There's nothing beneficial about that. There's nothing beneficial about having a drink or two or three. There's nothing beneficial about that. And what I said too last week was that if you come home and you need one to unwind, there's another issue going on. If you need alcohol to unwind, you've got a problem. You may not be an alcoholic, but you've got a problem in your life that needs to be addressed. Ask God to show you what that is, because something's burning too hot. Something's burning too hot and too long. If you need that to settle down, if you need alcohol to settle down. And some of the people that I know that do that are actually on medication that says don't drink alcohol with it. So what's that going to do? It's going to make it worse most of the time. It's going to put you in a depression. Then guess what you're going to do? You're going to drink the depressant and become an alcoholic. And that's not good for anybody but the devil. You know, and you'll have Christians that won't understand. They do understand, but they're under conviction. The same thing is with you teenagers. Just as we as adults will have people in the church or people outside the church come against us for what we don't do, you're going to have people in your school come against you too for what you don't do. But stick to the course. Stay in the race. Keep saying no, because you're in training. You're in training for later. Because if you can say no now, then it strengthens your faith so you can say no when it gets worse and when it gets harder to say no. So in verse 12, let's pick up right there. We talked about it a little bit last week, verse 12, but there's more than what was just there. In verse 8, it says this, at this time some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. Then we jump forward to verse 12, and it says this, but there are some Jews whom you set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, O king. They pay no attention to you, O king. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of God that you have set up. All of God's people aren't going to understand why you're doing what you're doing. But it's not for them. We're not called to follow people. Paul said, follow me as I follow who? Christ. We're not called to follow people. We're called to follow him. So you follow him in how he wants you to live. And you're going to have the naysayers. You're going to have the people that are going to try to rebuff you and everything else. But these folks, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were given positions of power. They weren't like the other folks. They had access to the king. They were smart. They were well-fed. They didn't have to worry about anything being taken care of. But just because, hear me now, just because you're in a position of power doesn't mean you bow to the king. Little K. Just because you're in a position of power doesn't mean you bow to the king. You bow to the king. You bow and you worship him. Because truth be known, the king, the little K, didn't give them their position. The big king gave them position. And the authority that they have. And that's the same thing with you and me. The position that I'm in, wherever I'm at, and the position that you're in, wherever you're at, has been given to you by the King of Glory, not the little king, the big king, the one that holds all this in place by his word, the one that created it and said, let there be light, and there was light. That's the one who has established you. And if you try to stay established by not serving him, you're going to fall. You're going to fall. And it's not always about money. You've got to be true to God. You know, a lot of folks say, just be true to you. No, be true to God. Be true to God. Don't be true to you. Be true to him. And everything else takes care of itself. Let's keep reading. Verse 12, verse 13. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, if you're ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. Now see, he's their buddy. He likes them because at the beginning of this chapter, he said, look, if anybody doesn't do it immediately, they're in the furnace. And then he finds out it's them, and he's still mad, but he's like, look, I'll give you guys another shot because I like you, and I want you to go ahead and do it. Don't bow down to peer pressure. Don't bow under the pressure at the job. Don't bow under pressure anywhere else to be who God hasn't called you to be and to do things that he hasn't called you to do. Now, I'm not saying go to work on Monday and just be a jerk, okay? They weren't being jerks about it. If you remember last week, when they didn't bow down, they didn't say, look, we're not doing that, Stan. Me and Stan, we're not doing that. Y'all are all going to hell. Y'all don't know what you're doing, but God's going to strike you dead and turn you on the dust, but not me and Stan because we know what's up. They didn't say anything like that. They just refused to do it. They didn't do it. And it was the other people around them that pointed out the fact that they weren't doing what the king decreed. So he says, look, I'll give you another chance. Just because I like you, I'll give you another chance. When you hear all the instruments, bow down and worship the image that I made. My God, the one that I made. But if you don't worship it, you'll be thrown immediately into a burning furnace or blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? A supreme tactic of the devil. For 2016 to be your best year, you're going to have to say no, and you're going to have to stand under the enemy's onslaughts. It's not going to be easy, but nothing worth doing ever is, right? Nothing worth doing ever is. He says, what God can keep you out of my hand? He said that, I believe, to give them the image of how bad he was. He wasn't a nice guy. That furnace was well maintained and used all the time. He threw people in that thing all the time. What God can deliver you out of my hand? You better do it, or I'm going to give you what's what. You better do it, or you're going to get fired. You better do it, or I'm going to embarrass you. You better do it, or I'm going to annihilate you. The fear of the devil, that's one of his biggest ploys because it always works. But it didn't work with these guys. Wonder why that was. It didn't work with these guys. Listen to what goes on to say here. He says, look, then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? And he knew about their God because he knew what Daniel interpreted for him with the dreams. Nobody else in his kingdom could interpret them. And if you remember last week, he didn't even give them the interpretation. He said, look, I've been troubled by this dream and I need you guys to tell me what it is and give me the interpretation. And if you don't tell me, then I'm going to cut you up in pieces, going to cut down your homes, going to bulldoze them into rubble, and that's going to be your end. Go ahead and tell me what I dreamed and give me the interpretation that's troubled me. Go. Nice guy, right? Nice guy. So he knew the God that they served, and he knew how powerful that he was, but he had a short memory. Shadrach, I love this next verse. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, oh, Nebuchadnezzar. I can almost hear him saying it kind of, bless your heart. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar. Oh, Neb. If it was me and Sean or me and Stan and some other folks would say, you know, I just don't think he gets it, guys. I just don't think. He says, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. God doesn't need you to defend him. And God doesn't, for some of us, we defend how we walk too much. The people around you already know what you believe. And all you're doing is wasting your breath. What would have happened had they made a defense? They would have just been frustrated. Some of us, all we do is defend instead of walk. Walk. You don't need to explain yourself. You don't need to explain why you're doing it. You don't need to explain what's behind it. They'll see your walk and they already know. Nebuchadnezzar knew the God that they served. That's why he referenced, what God can deliver you out of my hand? What God? Our God. Our God. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar. Oh, Neb, you're a smart guy sometimes. You're ruthless, but bless your heart. Listen to verse 17. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able. Is able. Is able to what? Listen to this. To save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O King. The God that you serve is able to rescue from anything that you'll face in 2016. If you just say no, you're going to go through some stuff. But keep in mind that no matter what you're going through and no matter how bad it looks, the God that you serve is able to do it. But I love the next verse. I love where they're at. They're all sold out. He's able to save us from it and he will rescue us from your hand, O King. But even if he's not, even if he does not, we won't bow down. We won't do it. We won't do what you're asking. Even if he does not, we want you to know that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. Even if he doesn't do what we're asking him to do, even if he doesn't do what I know he's capable of doing, then we're still not going to do it. My question to you this morning, God's question to you this morning, is, are you okay if he doesn't? Are you okay if you lose everything? Will you still tithe if you lose everything? Will you still be found in the house of God if it doesn't work out your way? Even though you know he's able. Talk to somebody just this week. Life didn't go their way. They were serving God as a young age, on fire for God. Series of events happened. Seemed like unrelenting. I think it was just an attack from the enemy to get them to quit, and that's exactly what they did. Didn't work out their way. I've had it with God. When you do that, you're walking away from your source. It makes no sense if you write that down on a legal pad and say, why are you walking away from the one that made you, the one that created you, the one that sustained you when you were in sin, the one that sustains you right now, the one that blesses you, that gives you everything that you need to live? Why would you walk away from that relationship? It doesn't make any sense. But there are people in the body of Christ every year that fall away, quit serving him, quit going to church because what they thought God should do, he didn't do. What they knew God could do, he didn't do. I don't know why he does what he does. I don't know why he doesn't do what he can do. But he's always got a plan and he's always got a purpose. Are you okay with nothing? Are you okay still being on medication the rest of your life? Are you okay still having those MRIs every 6 months? Are you okay having to go through that surgery? Are you okay with the doctor's report that says you've got 2 years max? Are you okay if he doesn't touch you on this side? Are you okay if you never get married? Are you okay if you don't have children? Are you okay? Are you okay? if even he doesn't. If even he doesn't. Even though he's capable. That's where they were. How were they? How did they have that kind of faith? How could they stand up to old King Nebuchadnezzar? How did they have that kind of faith? Read down to verse 19. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude towards them changed. You're going to lose some friends over this deal. You're going to lose some friends, but more importantly, you're going to make the enemy very angry. Very angry. You see, as long as they were doing what he wanted them to do, and as long as they weren't making a ruckus and going against anything, everything was good in the kingdom. Even though it was ruled by a pagan king, they had it pretty good. But the minute they took a stand, be reminded of that. The minute they took a stand, everything changed. All of a sudden, it wasn't roses anymore, as rosy as it could be. He was furious with them. He was furious the second time, but this time even more so, because you see what happened, and his attitude towards them changed. And he ordered the furnace 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. When you start taking a stand and saying no to some things inside your house and outside of your house, things that you can control about you, the enemy's going to turn the heat up on you. You can rest assured. The enemy's going to turn the heat up. And, it doesn't make any sense. He throws his strongest soldiers to tie these guys up that were really no threat. But because he's so mad, he goes over the top, just like the devil. He's going to turn the heat up on you, and you might be fighting demons you never fought in your life. The strongest ones that he can send, he'll unleash on you because you just had the audacity to say, no, we're not doing that anymore. Or no, we're not going to go there the first time. Or no, we're going to serve God this way. We're not going to do what everybody else is doing. I don't care if 5 million people are doing it. What does thus saith the Lord say? And we'll follow him. We'll follow him. But you can rest assured that that heat's going to be turned up, and it's going to be turned up hotter in your life than it's ever been. And it's there to get you to quit and to put fear in you, just like he did before, to put fear in you. So listen to what happens. Listen to what happens here. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. And the king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire had killed the soldiers who took them up. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there 3 men thrown in there? I thought there was 3. He's sitting here watching the whole thing. And as soon as they get in there, all of a sudden, hey, how many we put in there? How many put in there? And if you keep reading, it says that they were walking around unbound. Unbound. What happened? The fiery furnace actually freed them. Oh, hallelujah. The fiery furnace actually freed them. They were bound before they went in. And that's the thing that some of you don't realize. You're in bondage, and all the fiery furnace is going to do is show you the glory of God, show you that he's going to walk through you with it, but also burn that junk off of you. They came out without even a hair singe, without their clothes on fire, nothing. The only thing that burned up was the rope. The only thing that burned up was the rope. God says, look, you may be in the furnace, but you could walk right through that because I'm going to be with you. You may be in the furnace, but you were bound when you got in here, but now you're free to be with me, even in the middle of this stuff. And the guy even knew who it was. That pagan king. The NIV says he looks like the son of the gods. But most translations says he looks like the son of God. I'm here to tell you that 2016 is going to be your best year, and it's going to get hot. But as you get in that fire, people ain't just going to see you. They're going to see him. And it don't matter if they're unchurched or not. Nebuchadnezzar was bound for hell. He would have busted hell wide open. But even he stood up and said, that's the Son of God. That's the son. See, you don't have to preach. That's the best thing about it. When you're going through the fire, when you're going through the troubled times of life, you don't have to say nothing about Jesus. You don't have to preach. You don't have to quote John 3:16. All you got to do is just keep walking, man. All you got to do is just keep walking. Keep doing what you're called to do. Keep walking. He's with you. It may be hot, and the fire burned up the people that were sent to throw him in there. They died. on the outside. I wonder why that was. His strongest soldiers, the scripture says, bound them and threw them in. But the ones they were holding, on three guys, they're dead. They're dead. And they tumble in. But they're not dead. Can I tell you today, when you say no, and you do it consistently in your life, God will anoint you in ways that He won't anoint anybody else. Some of you have wondered, why do I go through this? Why am I going through this? Why can't anybody else go through this? Because they wouldn't live through it. God's anointed you, and He's going to anoint you to live through it because you've said no. He anointed the ones that were thrown in, but He didn't protect the ones that threw them in. And the same thing is true with you. Those that come against you in 2016, they won't have the protection of God over them like you. Let them do what they want. Let them do what they want to you. Watch and see what happens. The fire's going to get hot and everything else, but you're going to come walking out of that thing smelling like a rose. I can see him now. I can see him saying, look, you talk about a fire. We went through it, but talk about not losing nothing. I didn't lose sleep. I didn't lose a hair. I didn't lose a thread on my clothes. We walked out the other side, and we saw God in a way that we've never seen him before. And you know what? Old Neb did too. Old Neb did too. Now, he's made a declaration. Hey, their God's the real deal. He's the real deal. Please stand. Here's the kicker. Here's the kicker in all of this. They were able to say no up there because they said no back there. They said no when it really didn't matter much because they were going to have to say no when it mattered a whole lot. And because they did it back there with no food, and they went ahead and killed and crucified their flesh, they said no to some meals, and it worked out for them. And they said, you know what? If I say no to this, it's going to be just like that fast. When I say no to this, God's going to work it out just like that. When I say no to this up here, you know, I'm thankful that I said no there because now I've got the faith to stand up in the middle of all this and say, you know what? I don't think so. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to partake of that. You don't have to ingest everything that they're ingesting out there. You don't have to. And the same thing is going to happen with you that happened with them. The guy that was in charge of getting them fattened up and getting them strong, what he did was he said, hey, it worked for Dan. It worked for Wayne. It worked for Terry. You know what? We're going to put everybody on this feeding program because it works. And the feeding program you're on is God. It's God. It works. But they couldn't say no up here without saying no back there. You can't wait. You cannot wait until the furnace is 7 times hotter to say, I don't think so. Because you'll never do it. Pastor, I don't know if I agree with that. People that don't tithe always say, if I make $500 a week, then I'll start tithing. If I win the lottery, I'll tithe. I'm sure God appreciates that. But if you're not doing it now, you're not going to do it then. Because if you want $1 million, you think you're going to write a check for $100,000 to somebody? I don't think so. If you can't give 10, you ain't going to give 100. If you can't give 10, you're not going to give 1,000. Don't kid yourself, and it's the lie of the devil to keep you where you're at. You cannot wait until it gets hot to start saying no. You've got to build up that faith back there and start saying no to the little things, the little foxes, so you can be strong when it really matters most. And it's my prayer that you realize how much God loves you, and that you can embrace the love of God for you and not for everybody else. Some folks are real good about telling other people about how much He loves them, but those same folks many times have a hard time accepting the love of God for themselves. He loves you with an everlasting love, and he doesn't just love you, but He likes you. See, He likes you. That makes all the difference. Happy all smiled. You know, He doesn't just love you because He has to, because He's your dad, but you know what? He likes you. He likes you. I believe He smiles when He hears your prayers. I believe He smiles when the accuser comes up and starts accusing Him of what you did this week or that week. And I believe in His heart and in his mind, if He had one, you know, He's spirit. But I believe that as the enemy tries making those accusations, I think He says, boy, old Patrick, I love that joker. I love that joker. He's crazy. And you know what, devil? I don't doubt He did do it, but you know it's covered. It's covered. He gets crazy sometimes. He flies off the handle sometimes, but you know what? It's covered. It's covered. That's my man. It's one of my men down there, and I love him. Go on with yourself. Go do something else. Embrace the love of God for you.